Dinner for Two is brought to you by Vista. If you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, or have a creative idea, Vista will help you bring your vision to life. Through their professional design solutions and services and high-quality marketing products, you can build a brand you can be proud of. Visit vistaprint.com.au to start creating.
Hi, I'm Elise Tran, and welcome to Dinner for Two, presented by Pop Sugar Australia. My career journey to date has been far from orthodox. I mean, I started my career as a lawyer, then I started a business with a friend that blew up and I didn't intend for it to do so, and then worked in that business for nearly 7 years, sold that business, and then after that, I didn't really know what I was going to do. I was like, do I go on holiday? Do I have chill time? Do I start a new business or do I work for someone else? Interestingly, a lot of people think that I wouldn't work for someone else. And I'm like, that's where I started my career. I'm happy to be an employee. So when my friend Ray Vakili, who we're speaking to today, reached out and said, hey, do you want to help me with LTK, reward style? I was like, okay, I'm happy to help out. I'm not got much on now anyway. And essentially, for those of you who don't know, LTK is the world's largest influencer marketing platform. It seeks to be the number one platform for a creator to monetize their content and the number one platform for brands to work with those content creators. Ray and I are working together on that business in expanding them into the APAC region, which is extremely interesting because content creation and working with content creators is a way that I have built both TDE and now my new businesses. And I thought I would speak to Ray about her journey to date. I mean, for a young woman, she has done so much. She finished school in Sydney, then went and studied at Yale, took her first job as the assistant to Anna Wintour, editor of Vogue US, really big role for a young person. Then went and actually worked at LTK in London, then did an MBA at Stanford, and then came back to Australia and looked at a few different opportunities, from starting her own businesses to working, you know, in other people's businesses. So she's had a really interesting journey as well. And I wanted to talk to her about why she has chosen to work with LTK. She's had so many different opportunities thrown at her, and I'm just keen to know what her thought process was. Ray, I'm really excited to have you on today. As your friend, I'm very across like your education and your career and what you've done so far being back in Australia. But for those listening, can you tell us a little bit about your career to date?
Sure. So I have actually been living overseas for the past 10 years. I recently came back just before COVID, actually. You know, I did my studies overseas in the US. I always thought I wanted to be a lawyer like you, Elise.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know?
I thought I knew lots about you. I didn't know you wanted to be a lawyer.
Yeah, well, when I graduated from high school, like after the HSC, I got into Sydney Law. I started 6 months there, actually,
yes,
because the US calendar doesn't start until September.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I wanted to have a backup plan. So I was doing, liberal arts law at Sydney?
Yep.
And then when I started in the States, I went to Yale for my undergrad, and they've got a very liberal arts degree. And so you study basically everything from literature to languages to the sciences. And I don't know, after, you know, even my internships all through Yale were legal.
Really?
Internships. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
A legal researcher at the Special Court for Sierra Leone in the summer of my sophomore year, was looking at law school even after I graduated. But in America, you usually work for a few years before you go to graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking at a bunch of jobs as I was graduating, and the only jobs that sponsored visas at the time were sort of your consulting or your finance jobs. And I wasn't really interested in the finance path. I stumbled across this opportunity to work at Vogue, and it did sponsor my visa.
Did you see that opportunity with Vogue? Like, how that wasn't a newspaper ad.
No.
What was that?
This
like,
was literally me. This was literally me sending out my resume to every single type of company in New York. Like anything.
Really?
Anything and everything. More than anything, again, like I knew I didn't want to work at your traditional bank. I just finished my undergrad degree. I wanted to do something creative. I wanted to, you know, I like interacting with people. And so cast a pretty wide net, sent a resume into Vogue as an editorial assistant for some random position. I don't even remember what it is at the moment. that's basically how that job at Vogue came about, because HR saw that I'd gone to Yale, I guess picked my resume up from the pile and offered me a position as Anna Wintour's assistant, which was pretty cool.
What is the best Anna Wintour story you have?
I don't know if I can share that.
Okay, fine. Second best Anna Wintour story.
Oh, look, there are so many.
What was the best thing that happened?
Probably dinner with Barack.
Oh, yeah, that's
handsome
cool.
Voice. Yeah, that
that's
was very
cool. Just right. Casual first name basis.
Yeah, and they like shut down the whole of, you know, bottom half of New York. They had like, it's quite a...
A procession
a
to be a
Yeah, a procession if the president comes to town, like the number
and,
of things they have to comply
by. And I assume
by.
President comes to town, wants to have dinner with Anna Wintour as her assistant, you get to come along to that and meet
him. Yeah, I mean, I think she realised what a big deal, like it was pretty cool. I never thought I'd actually work in fashion. I similar to you, have like very old school parents, I guess. You know, they work hard, study.
They want the comfort of you having a professional career.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so for me, it just never really entered my mind as an option. Mm-hmm. When this opportunity came along, everyone at the time kind of knew who Anna was anyway because of, you know, the movie. And there's those, you know, in the industry, she's just so renowned anyway. I couldn't really say no to it. I knew it would be an incredible opportunity, even though it was in an industry that was very foreign to me at the time. And so I jumped at it. Anna is so involved in every aspect of the magazine, right? And so I liked, firstly, that overview of the editorial world. I also liked how we were doing the Vogue Fashion Fund, and that was Vogue working with a bunch of emerging designers starting their businesses, and that side of it really excited me. One of my mentors at Vogue was a girl called Indre Rockefeller, and she was a Stanford grad as well. Mm-hmm. And she was sort of the first person that put the idea of business school in my mind. And I was like, oh, maybe I want to, you know, maybe I don't want to go to law school. Maybe the business track is sort of more appropriate and fitting for me.
Is it correct in saying that someone only works as Anna's assistant for a couple of years or so?
Yeah, yeah. I'd say like 2 or 3 years is pretty standard.
And then after that, you know, the world's your oyster at that point, because one assumes you've made good connections, people know who you are, like it's a pretty good credential to have on your CV. Like, what did you look to do next after that?
I think I felt a bit burnt out after those 2.5 years, and I just knew I didn't want to stay in New York. I think it's a pretty stressful city, and I'd been in America for 6 years at that time, and so I kind of just wanted to change. And that's when I actually moved to London and started working for LTK, which was then known as Reward Style.
So, okay, so with that job with Reward Style, how did that one come about? Was that again another CV spam or like,
No, that was, I feel like it's all the network.
Yes,
the
for quote sure.
Quote unquote, the network.
For sure.
My boyfriend at the time, one of his mentors was a lady named Whitney Wolf, who, as you know,
Bumble.
You know, I was chatting to her about what I wanted to do next, and she's like, come work for me at Bumble. And I knew I had this love for fashion. I knew I had this love for business. I didn't think Bumble was the right fit for me at the time. And so she was like, you know what? If you're in the fashion space, let me introduce you to my friend, Amber.
Amber Vensbox, who is the founder of LTK, formerly Reward Style.
Yeah. And so I jumped on a call with Amber, and this was kind of a crossroads of all my interests. It was fashion, it was tech, it was... The office had just launched in London at the time, so in a lot of ways it was a startup, and it was just different. And so I started working at Reward Style in London, and I was there for 2 years, and I was working on new markets, so focusing on expansion to the Middle East, which was a lot of fun, and obviously I was looking after the Australian market as well. And over those 2 years, that's when I sort of started looking at business school, getting my applications together.
So Ray went off to Stanford and completed her MBA there. I think a lot of people know that business school is expensive.
Mm.
Do you think it was worth it?
You know, I wish I went to business school with a plan. If I did it again, I would have gone in with, you know, either a business idea that I wanted to launch, and I would have utilized it more strategically, I guess, you know, like, which professors should I be talking to? Which classes should I be taking? For me, I loved the experience, and I definitely don't regret a minute of it. But yeah, if I could do it again, I probably would have been a bit more strategic about my approach.
So when you got here after business school, world's your oyster. You've had a fair amount of work experience, startup vibe, you know, more formal, bigger company with Condé Nast. Like, what were you looking at earlier last year when you came back as opportunities?
I think I might have moved back a little prematurely in hindsight, but...
Why do you say prematurely though?
I don't mean prematurely. What I mean to say is I wasn't ready to move back when I did.
But why? Like, why do you feel like you weren't ready?
I loved living overseas. Yeah. And I think...
And I guess then we were on lockdown and you're like, why am I back here? Were you a bit
exactly.
like that?
Well, as soon as we got back, we went into lockdown and I was like, oh my God, this is the biggest mistake of my life. What are we doing? But that's not entirely true because at the time, Australia was one of the best places to be in the world. But yeah, look, all my friends were overseas. I'd lived there for so long. I'd built a life there. It's so exciting and fast-paced. I always knew I wanted to come back to Australia because I'm very close to my family and it's sort of such a safe and wonderful place to grow up. But if you'd asked me, you know...
In 2019?
Yeah.
Are you ready to come back?
I probably would have said no. So when I did come back, I think I was a little bit confused about what I wanted
to do.
Which
is actually, you know, I think everyone's confused. Everyone thinks that, I think they look at people like Ray and I and go, oh, like they know what they want to do.
Oh, I've never known what I want. I still don't know what I
want. Yeah. And so you came back and you investigated a range of options and this is how we've sort of joined together on this journey with LTK. But what were some of the things that you were like, because obviously you're going to work. What else? Like you're a young woman. So
I think firstly for me, a lot of the things that, you know, when I was living in the States and at business school, a lot of the opportunities that I was looking at were at sort of bigger retail or fashion firms or tech companies. I even remember looking at a position at Facebook on their retail team. Like there was so many things there. And then I came back to Australia and I was like, oh, I have no idea what to do because none of those sort of opportunities really exist. Mm-hmm. It's a different set of opportunities, none of which I thought at the time were aligned with like what I loved and what I was good at. So I was like, okay, do I just go do my own thing? And like, you know.
You were looking to start your own business. And I guess now, you know, you're working full time as the managing director of LTK Australia. How did you choose to work full time for LTK as an employee?
I feel like I had shied away from the finance track for so long. And when I was finally sort of in it, I just didn't enjoy it. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, you didn't enjoy
it. I didn't enjoy it. I felt like a fraud.
Really?
Oh,
because
yeah,
no. Because of the business subject matter or because it was the elements of starting a business, you know, like anything boring from like entity setup through to like hiring employees through to branding it, through to distribution of it. What was it?
Well, firstly, I didn't like the idea of sort of raising money. I don't think it was so much the building up of the business as the space itself.
Yeah. Okay. So do you think had you have created a fashion product that you might have ended up
running your own business? I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to run your own business. You know.
I know because I straddle this thing all the time. So like – for me, like I really enjoy working with Ray in this business. This business that we're working for is huge. It's a global brand and it's awesome in some ways not to be fully accountable for the strategy and direction of that business. You know, we are executing that business in this market and in the neighbouring countries. So we don't have to take responsibility in some ways. Oh, you know, if the general manager that we report into would be hearing this, but responsibility for the direction and the overall success of the business, which takes a lot of pressure off.
It's like a startup within a safe spider web.
You know, they give us direction and ideas around goals that we should have and then we execute them. When you have your own business, you know, it's hard because you have to set your own goals and you're always in a new space because you've started a business because you've obviously identified some sort of gap or, you know, there's a new product or whatever it is. It's unknown and so it's very hard to set parameters. Like when someone asks me like how is In the Roundhouse going, I find it really hard to answer because I'm like, well, how is it going? On what measure of success am I measuring this? And it is like always on. Like so for example, on Monday, Ray decided that it was a day off for LTK and I was like, you would never do that if you had your own business because it just doesn't stop. Like there's never an off switch for me, but we're allowed to have an off switch with LTK. I don't think anyone is, you know, Amber Venn's box is expecting you to work 7 days a week at all. No, of course not. But if LTK was your business, there would be no off switch.
Yeah.
And that's so I think, you know, working with in a team, in a large organization, you get, maybe you can get more work-life balance because it is expected that there is off time. Yeah.
Dinner for Two is brought to you by Vista. If you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, or have a creative idea, Vista will help you bring your vision to life. Through their professional design solutions and services and high-quality marketing products, you can build a brand you can be proud of. Visit vistaprint.com.au to start creating.
I mean, what else do you think is like the cool thing about working for someone else versus
I mean, it's pretty cool to work for a global company. I mean, as you know, like I feel like I have this strong connection overseas because I spent so many years there. So having a foot in that door is a really nice thing for me. You know, we're on a call every Wednesday morning with the team in Dallas. They're pretty high level. They care about this market. They want to invest in this market. And also like having access to sort of people in positions of seniority as well. Like when you are the master of your own ship.
Yes, there is no one to report
to. There is no
one. I mean, I talked to in this series about it kind of being lonely at the top and whatever. And
you need to find those mentors for yourself and you need to surround yourself with those people. But when you're in a corporation, I think you can sort of find those people within a business as well and be like, you know what, I really admire that person. Mm.
But even like, you know, you and I and the rest of the team getting to work together on stuff is quite nice because you're working for a common, not that in a business you're not working at a common problem or goal. It's just that you're supporting each other. Whereas I feel like when you own a business, you have to be the leader. Like I often don't like to express fear around other team members in my own business because I don't want people freaking out thinking they're going to lose their jobs or anything like that. So, you know, at least we, you know, have that, we can experience it at the same level together.
Yeah, that's true. And I think there is this, there is an element of security that comes with working for...
Absolutely. Someone else.
Someone else in a global company. And
100%. We don't need to worry so much about where the next sale is coming from or where, you know, the revenue stream of the business or the its bottom line as much as if you were controlling your own business and you're like, well, there's no cash in the bank to pay out staff or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's why I am enjoying it because I'm getting to sort of flex the areas that I have knowledge or expertise in and then kind of go, yeah, cool, like I can do this and then leave the rest of it.
Yeah, I feel like what I'm doing with LTK is it's almost a happy medium between like being an employee and starting your own business because it, in effect it is a startup in Australia. They are giving us free rein to sort of build this business as we think it will succeed in Australia. But it's all done within, obviously...
Brand guidelines.
Brand guidelines and a safety net that if we fail, okay, you know
also,
what?
And
we're not going to fail.
Yeah,
they're going to succeed.
And also the halo effect of quite a large brand that has been built overseas. So, yeah, it is really interesting because I think in Australia there are some very interesting opportunities for people to work in very successful global tech businesses, you know, whether that be like Canva, Atlassian, the larger global players that have come and set up offices here.
And there are very exciting players in the game now as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think the opportunity to sort of like travel and you know, spend time overseas, learn from these different offices where, you know, the formula has been tried and tested is also an exciting sort of promise.
In terms of like, so going back to your career and how everything sort of quite happened organically or through your network, if you had to apply for another job now, let's pretend LTK didn't exist, you know, would you go back to trying to do another startup or are there roles out there? How would you feel?
Oh gosh, that's such a tricky question. I don't know.
I know, I guess you're not thinking about that on a day-to-day basis.
I'm really not thinking. I feel like I've just started this, I am so invested and so excited for what is to come with LTK. You know what? I feel like my answer to that question is I would probably not know. I've never really had a clear sense of what I want to do. I just try everything and then something feels right. Like, I don't know if that's a good strategy, but...
No, well, it's obviously served you well so far. So, you know, this is the thing. I think a lot of people feel imposter syndrome or they feel like, am I doing the right thing? And, you know, we've discussed this with a few people and a lot of the time it is like, getting into something and going, yeah, this is cool. I'll keep doing it.
Like if you don't start it, you won't know if you like it or not. And then, you know, even with LTK, I was consulting for 6 months for the business before I decided I wanted to commit to it. You know, I was spending so much time on it. I really fell in love with their mission and their sort of vision. And I was like, okay, you know what? Let's give this a go.
Yeah.
I think so long as you give everything a go and you're open to the possibility that like an opportunity will come along, or like you're gaining something in the process of trying.
And so, looking back, you know, young 18-year-old girl who finished high school.
Should I have become
Sydney,
a lawyer? Maybe.
No. I don't know. You would never have thought that you would be doing what you're doing now.
No, never.
And like have the twists and turns and stuff.
You know what the problem, I don't know if it's a problem with school still, but when I was at school, I just didn't know what kinds of jobs there even were out there. I still don't know what kinds of jobs there are out there. There are so many like interesting things.
Every industry is getting disrupted and changing so fast. Yeah, there are these roles that like what the work that I'm doing for LTK I never thought existed.
Never. When you leave school, you think there's only a set number of 100% possibilities. Like,
maybe kids
a lawyer,
are more
woke.
Maybe kids are more enlightened now, though. I don't know.
Exactly. That's why I said yes. I hope so.
Yes.
I think so.
Mm. I actually, as another question, wanted to ask you because, you know, everyone has a side hustle. I think everyone is sort of like, oh, you know, you just sit there in this like comfy executive job as the managing director of LTK, but you know, and we've talked about the challenges of that, but you also create a lot of content and stuff on the side. So you're hustling quite hard. She makes content on the weekends. How do you fit everything in?
Oh, I don't know. I'm so tired. No. Look, I feel very fortunate that LTK is allowing me to continue with my side hustle.
Yeah.
I think it sort of goes hand in hand. Our business deals with creators, it deals with brands, and it deals with consumers. Mm-hmm. I am a creator and, you know, I feel like in the process I'm learning a lot about the people that we work with, mm-hmm. building relationships with the brands that I'm sort of working with as well. But yeah, no, you
what do you like
in,
about
you
being
fit
a creator? For context, Ray, you can look up Ray's Instagram, but you know, recipes through to styling, home styling through to fashion content.
Yeah, it's a bit of a visual arts diary, you know? It's the cooking stuff I love. It's a hobby. It's sort of turned into content creation. But I think it's just, you know, it's becoming such a way of the future that I want to stay involved
in
as well. Yeah. And you know what? It's like, it's your personal brand and you never know when your personal brand is going to come in handy one day.
For sure.
Like, yeah.
Ray, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule today. I saw your calendar this morning, so I'm very, very grateful.
Thank you, Elise. I'm so happy to get to chat with one of my best friends.
That was great talking to Ray. My three takeaways are, firstly, always try really hard. She graduated at the top of her game from Yale when she was a young woman, obviously very academically gifted, and applied for at least 15 jobs before, you know, her first opportunity opened up. Secondly, I think be open to changes in the industries. I mean, we're in such a fast-moving world. I mean, I didn't ever think that I was going to work with a tech business, and I don't think Ray did either. I mean, she thought she was going to be a lawyer. So there are all these very untraditional jobs you can get working really anywhere, which is very exciting. And thirdly, it's definitely worth keeping up your creativity. Your creativity could be something that drives your lateral thinking, whether you have your own business or you're in a role. That stuff just keeps it nice, fun, and juicy. Thanks so much for joining us for Dinner for Two. I'm Elise Tran.